Just in the way of an intro, the Word of God says in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, it says, "Faithful is he that called you who will also do it." I think one of the things that we as believers need to really get a handle on is the faithfulness of God. A lot of believers think that God's faithfulness is limited to their circumstances. Peter was in jail. I love that story. Peter's in jail. People are praying for him. God gets him out of jail, and then they don't believe that it's him. Right? Peter is in jail, and people are praying for him. Faithful is he who's called you, who will also do it. Revelation 13:8, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. In John 19, the first thing that was said as the world was initiated was, "It is finished," because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. We started where God finished. This is why on the seventh day he rested, because the work was finished. This is why in Genesis chapter 1, when he put the stars into the sky as signs and seasons, it was signs and seasons of the finished work of Jesus Christ. It was not weather, like so many people think, in times a year. It was the gospel. In Psalm 19, it's written in nature. Whatever it is that comes into our life, doesn't matter what it is, God had already finished the work, and the plan is perfect. This is why I can trust Him, because it's a finished work. Whatever it is that challenges me, whatever mistakes I may make, whatever I may do right, it is a finished work. And God knew it before the foundation of the world. And He has a perfect provision for every circumstance, because that provision was set in place when He knew the plan for my life before the world began. God knew the decisions I would make. He would know the course that I take. He would know everything about me. He'd know the number of hairs on my head. He'd know what I look like. He knew if I had a beard or not. He knew my weight, my size. He knew everything before the world began. That means that I was in the mind of God as He created the universe. And it was in fact created for us. You see, the Lamb was slain. There is no mistake that I can make for which there is not a blood provision in Revelation 1:5. There is nothing that can happen that God did not permit for my benefit in Romans chapter 8. The Lamb was slain. I love the fact that my name is written in the nail prints, because it reminds Him of me. But it also means that I am not only in Christ, I'm in His hand. But why am I in His hand? I'm in His hand because of the nail prints. And so I will always be there. Nobody can remove me from there. No matter what happens, no one can remove me from there. This is why God works all things together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Why is that? Well, who loves God? People say, "I love God." Are you sure? Maybe you do. But be careful, God will test that. God will test that. You know what? I like to think that I love Him, but I wonder if I had the right sort of a test whether I would be faithful. For example, Richard Wurmbrand. I wonder if I would be like Richard Wurmbrand, who was a Lutheran pastor under the communist days, for 14 years, almost daily tortured, simply because he would not deny Christ. And he would not deny Christ. There's a story about him I heard recently. Some of you may have heard the same story. One of his captors was urinating on his head. And he said to God as it was happening, "Now realize what that meant. Can you imagine the sensation, the burning? Not just the disgrace and the humiliation, but the burning. Because he had been tortured. They would put him into a box with nails where there was enough room to stand, but not enough room to breathe. And he would stay there for 3 or 4 days. So his body was severely scarred. And now they are urinating on his head. Can you imagine the burning? And he said to the Holy Spirit, "If this man gets saved because of this, then this is my anointing oil." God asked him one time, and he was in a terribly bad way. He couldn't remember a single scripture. Here's a pastor, and he couldn't remember a single scripture, and he felt terrible about it. He's like, "What kind of a pastor am I? I can't even remember a single verse from the Bible." And an angel visited him, and he said to him, "Do you love Jesus?" He said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Well, he loves you too." That's what it all comes down to. Do you love Jesus? Well, he loves you too. Do I love Jesus? I don't know. I haven't had the testing to be able to say. I haven't been tortured, and I haven't been beaten, and I haven't been humiliated in terrible ways. I haven't had a gun put to my head. Say, "Will you deny your Savior?" I hope I would not, but I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. Regardless of whether I would deny him or not, he loves me. And regardless whether you would deny him or not, he loves you. This is the bottom line of it all. The entire Bible can be summarized in 3 words. Amazingly enough, the world is so familiar, the Christian world is so familiar with those 3 words that they have turned it into a bumper sticker cliche. But they are the most profound truth of the ages. They are the very reason the universe itself exists. God loves you. He simply does. No matter where I find myself, God will always love me. In Isaiah 43, God said to Israel, "You are precious in my eyes and I love you." He said to them, "You're precious in my eyes, I love you. You have been honorable in my sight." But Israel has fallen backwards, gone after other gods. But God says, "You're precious in my eyes and I love you." Why? Because they were his. Hosea married a woman named Gomer. She left him. She left her husband so that she could become a prostitute. And when she was old and worn, she became a slave. And he bought her back. This is God with us. We all make our mistakes. I know I've made my share. But he will never be in a place where he will not take us back. Why? Because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, and faithful is he who's called you, who will also do it. As a believer, I have a call on my life. And it is God's job to bring me into the fullness of that call. I respond to him. But quite frankly, my life is his problem, not mine. Because I've been bought with a price. And as Peter said, I was not purchased with silver or gold, but I was purchased with the precious blood of Christ. And so my life is not mine, it is his. Because he bought it. Just like Gomer was purchased. God did that for us. I think if a believer can really get a handle on the fact that God loves them, it will revolutionize their life. Why? Because what else is there after that point? Right? Paul got a handle on that. Peter got a handle on that. You know who got a handle on that? Ahab. Ahab was the most wicked king Israel had ever seen. He was Jezebel's husband. He killed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of prophets of God. He persecuted, he was vile, he was into false gods. But then, and interestingly enough, it only happened after Jezebel's death, watch out for your associations. But then, he heard the word. And he repented. And God said, the curses that I was going to bring because of your sin, I will not bring. Now, there was still a result. God said, they'll come on your children. Why? Because there is a result. There is a consequence. But God loved Ahab. Didn't matter that Ahab was evil. God loved Ahab. This is the believer. Doesn't matter my failure. Doesn't matter where I find myself. Doesn't matter what happens. God still loves me. End of the story. Why? You see, every sin that I ever had was paid for before the world began. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So the work is finished. It has always been finished. Before the first person was on earth, the work was finished. Redemption was given. Forgiveness was our possession before we ever sinned. We were already covered in the blood of the Lamb. Who can lay any charge to God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who can separate us from the love of God? No one can. Why? Because it is finished. All of my sins were future to God and past. You see, we tend to think in a very linear term, as though God lived in time. God does not live in time. God lives in eternity. He knows the end from the beginning. But you know what? He knows the beginning from the end too. Because He lives in eternity. We're simply loved by God. End of story. I make mistakes because I'm a human being. But I am simply loved by God. And if I make my mistake in 1 John 1:9, I take it to Him. And I say, God, this was a mistake. And He said, don't worry about it. You're cleansed. You're washed. You're perfected in the blood of the Lamb. He said, I remember your iniquities no more. I remove your sins as far as the east is from the west. They had been put on a scapegoat and sent into a wilderness, never to be found again. It is finished. God will never deal with me according to my mistakes. God will always deal with me according to the blood of the Lamb. And the blood of the Lamb cleanses from all iniquities. It's that simple. When I enter into that, then I enter into the very thing that gives me a life that's worth living. Because it gives me the life of God. I love that saying. It's not original to me. I heard it from Pastor Stevens. He said, most kings will have their subjects die for them. This king died for his subjects. That's how it works with God. He died for me. So that I wouldn't have to. No matter where you find yourself, God loves you. It's that simple. And whatever it is that concerns you, He will perfect it. And His strength will be made perfect in your weakness. Why? Because it is finished. That's why. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And faithful is He who's called you, who will also do it.